Good morning. You stalwart members and friends who are looking for direction in these strange times that we live. The divine service that we normally have is a conversation between the Almighty and His people. And in our liturgy, we reflect that with the responses and the readings. But today, because of the constraints of the social isolation that we have been asked to impose upon ourselves during this time of pandemic, and because of our relative unfamiliarity with the ancient prayer service that we hope to use in the coming weeks, I would invite you to listen and to pray along with me this morning as we observe a service of readings and the ancient litany. With that in mind, we begin, as always, by beseeching the Lord to be with us with the invocation. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These words once again call us to worship as they have for centuries. And these words come to us from the Great Commission that Jesus gave to His church. They remind us of the name into which we were baptized, the name that is above every name, the name of the gracious God who has forgiven us our trespasses and sins, who gives us faith and bids us to a life of repentance, to turn from evil and to receive all the many blessings of His eternal kingdom. Now, of late, it's been a little more difficult than normal to think on these things, I think, for most of us, because of the illness that is spreading around our country and the world in the midst of pandemic. Fear and gloom and doom are pressed upon us from every side. And the reaction of some is to hold themselves up in their homes and in despair. The reaction of others is bravado, as if this doesn't really matter. We Christians, however, know something more by faith. The Lord cannot fail in His purposes. And His purposes are always good, especially for those who love Him. And we've been given insight into this very thing in the book of Exodus. There we see the plagues brought upon Egypt, and each one had its purpose. The suffering brought on by each plague was a picture of God's power, a revelation of His glory and His mercy and His plan of salvation for all mankind. The Lord used brush strokes of history to paint a grand picture of how He would come and save us from our sins, how even then He was working for the good of His people and even for the whole world. The tenth plague in particular, the plague of the firstborn, bears great outward similarity to the pandemic that's now upon us. People are being brought out of this world and into eternity by something unseen. And there's always fear of the unknown. It falls like a funeral pall upon the land. But the children of God, who hear the Almighty and His word, believe. And they are in their homes with the blood of the Passover lamb upon their doorposts and lintels, and the blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, upon the doorposts and lintels of their hearts, forgiving them their sins, releasing them from eternal death to eternal life. For us who have God's promise of eternal life in Christ, death is not a loss. It is not evil. But we also have the command of God to cherish life, to remain in this world until he calls us out of it, to know that life is good, and so life is protected and cherished. And with those things in mind, hear now the words of Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever you shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened from that first day until the seventh day, the person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but whatever one needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you, and you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.'" And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And then the Israelites left in the great exodus from the land. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every slave that is bought for money may eat of it after you have circumcised him. No foreigner or hired worker may eat of it. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. If a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. There shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you. All the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, and on that very day the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts. So far, our text. The Lord brought Israel out of the land of its slavery through the waters of the Red Sea. And he brings us out of the land of our slavery to sin through the waters of holy baptism. The Lord brought the Israelites through the suffering and wandering in the desert until they reached the promised land of Canaan that had been promised to their forefather Abraham. And he is bringing us likewise home to the promised land of heaven above. As you meditate and think on God's plan for you and your family during this time of isolation and illness, remember that this is not random, but there is a higher and better purpose for it that involves you. The Israelites commemorate the Passover to this very day, but many of them have forgotten the meaning of it. For us, we remember it together with the words of that great commission that Jesus gave. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You have heard. You have believed in the Christ. You know that his blood shed for you has forgiven you all your sins. You know that the Lord has forgiven your sins for the sake of what Jesus did when he gave his life as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know because you have heard the Lord. He has spoken to you in his word. He has told you that your sins are forgiven, that your tomb is empty, because Jesus' tomb is empty. That God is working everything, even this difficult time, for your eternal good and the good of those around you. How will God move you to fresh courage? How will he move you to love him more fully and to turn from your sins and to cast out its leaven from your household? How will his mercy move you to help your neighbor in their need? Think on these things during these quiet moments in the weeks to come. The Lord has granted you this time. The Lord loves you personally, for you bear his name, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the name you received in your baptism when he brought you through the waters and set you upon your journey to the promised land above. You are beloved. You are forgiven. You have eternal life. Amen. The ancient litany of the church is a prayer, like the prayer of the church that we have in our modern day liturgies, and we'll be adapting it for regular use while we're away from our congregational worship. Since you may not have heard these words before, I will speak them. Let us pray. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christe eleison, Christ, have mercy upon us. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, hear us. O God the Father in heaven, have mercy upon us. O God the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy upon us. O God the Holy Ghost, true Comforter, have mercy upon us. Be gracious unto us. Spare us, good Lord. Be gracious unto us. Help us, good Lord. From all sin, from all error, and from all evil, good Lord, deliver us. From the temptations and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from disease and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and rebellion, from storms and natural disaster, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death, good Lord, deliver us. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, help us, good Lord, in all time of tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment, help us, good Lord. We poor sinners do beseech you to hear us, good Lord, and to lead and govern your holy Christian church in the right way, to preserve all pastors and servants of the church in the true knowledge and understanding of your word and in holiness of life, to put an end to all godless teaching and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, to accompany your word with your spirit and grace, to raise up those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the faint-hearted and distressed. We beseech you to hear us, good Lord. To give to all nations peace and concord, to preserve our country from discord and contention, to direct and defend our government and all in authority, and to bless and keep all who administer justice and all our people. We beseech you to hear us, good Lord. To behold and sustain all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect all who travel, to preserve all women in the perils of childbirth, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to set free all who are innocently imprisoned, to defend and provide for all fatherless children and widows, and to have mercy on all people, we beseech you, Lord, to hear us. To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve to our use the fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers, we beseech you to hear us, good Lord. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, we beseech you to hear us. O Lamb of God, you who take away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, you who take away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, you who take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us and grant us your peace. O Christ, hear us. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christe eleison, Christ, have mercy upon us. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. The Lord has not dealt with us according to our sins. The Lord has not punished us according to our iniquities. Lord God Almighty, you do not fail to hear the sighs of the contrite, nor disregard the longing of troubled hearts. Behold our prayer, which we bring before you in our need, and graciously hear us, so that all that strives against us, of both the devil and men, may come to naught and be scattered by your good counsel. To the end that, unharmed by all temptation, we may thank you with your church and praise you at all times through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Lord God, you take no pleasure in the death of poor sinners and would not willingly let them perish, but desire that they should turn from their ways and live. We heartily pray that you would avert the punishment that we have deserved by our sins and tenderly grant us your boundless mercy, that we may walk in newness of life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Yet the Lord's anger is but for a moment. His pleasure endures for life. O God, whose nature is always to have mercy and to forgive, receive our humble petition. And although we are tied and bound by the heavy chain of our sins, let the mighty pity of your great mercy free us to the honor of Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. O Lord, enter not into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living shall be justified. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you know that we are not able to withstand the many and great dangers which attack our human weakness. Grant us strength in body and soul, that by your help we may overcome whatever troubles us because of our sins, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Call upon me, says the Lord, in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Almighty and everlasting God, through your Holy Spirit, you sanctify and rule the whole church. Hear our prayer and graciously grant that your church may serve you in true faith by the grace of your Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, deliver us and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our supplications to you, and have promised that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of your servants, as may be most expedient for them. Grant us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Gracious Father in heaven, we pray especially this day for those we know in their needs. Hear us for Christ's sake. We pray for the families of those whose loved ones departed this vale of tears recently, and we ask for comfort for the family of Mark Morton and for the Borlaug and Anderson families. Grant them faith to know the comfort of Jesus' resurrection. We pray for those who are recovering from surgery and rehabilitating. Lord, in your mercy, grant healing to Mr. Neil Wendt, to Emily, Delford Keeker's granddaughter, and to Bill Stewart, who is recovering from a heart attack. Grant, we pray, continued healing to those who suffer from long-term health problems, especially Gene Nickel, Forrest Mackey, and his brother, the Reverend John Mackey, Samantha Seaman, the niece of Jackie Gailey, Jim McBride, Rick Seals, Richard Rado, and Connie Doughty. Restore their health fully, if it is best for them, and even more importantly, increase their faith. And if it pleases you, O God, and is best for your people and the people of this stricken world, remove this plague from all the earth and restore those who have been stricken by it, especially Pastor Tom Hine and his wife, LaRue. Finally, strengthen our faith in this crisis, that we rely on you and not on what we know with our senses. Point our eyes heavenward to the eternal things, so that we might order our earthly lives rightly. Embolden us with the joyful truth that we are your children in Christ, so that we might share with others the reason for the hope that we have. And leave us not to the temptation of worry and fretting, but direct our attention to your word for certainty in the coming days. All these things we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Greetings once again in the name of our Lord. Today, as you well imagine, is an odd day for me. There's no one here in the church building except me. I don't think I've ever had such a situation. I hope that I'm able to serve you and continue serving you during this time of isolation. And to that end, I'd like you to know that you are welcome to call me here at the church. Anytime you might need to leave a message, or if there's an emergency, please call me on my cell phone. I want you to know that I'm happy to come to your home and bring communion to you if you are a member of our congregation or of our fellowship. And I'd like you to know that I'm praying for you each and every day. I'm sending out email newsletters to you each day, hoping that that will help keep us together in this time when we are apart. And I'd like you to encourage you to think about your fellow members and those that you might know who might be in need. Do what you can for them as a Christian brother and sister. And if you need assistance or if there's anything that we can do to help, please contact me here at the church, and we'll see what we're able to do. I wish you the Lord's blessings during this time of isolation. Use the phone to contact one another. Use email. Stay in touch with your fellow members more than normal, because at this time, that's how we can reinforce one another with the good message of Jesus Christ. That's how we can strengthen one another as we deal with this crisis that's come upon our world. And in all things, remember that the Lord is in control and that he is doing all things for our good. May the Lord richly bless you during this time and give you opportunity to share the good news, the reason for the comfort that you have with those around you who may need such comfort. Amen.